again, speaking now, pastorem darbo verbis, I give you John Paul II. The priest, by virtue of the consecration which he receives in the sacrament of orders, is sent forth by the Father in the mediatorship of Jesus Christ, to whom he is configured in a special way as head and shepherd of the people, in order to live and work by the power of the Holy Spirit in service of the church and for the salvation of the world. So as parish priest, it's your responsibility, of course, to see that the preaching is authentic. But if you pick people of faith, it will be. It always was there. When I was there, no one ever said anything heretical, for God's sake. They were just telling us why they were there. And they'd be talking about a nun who taught them back in primary school. Or they'd talk about a marriage to a beautiful woman or man. Or they'd talk about the kids getting confirmed. Just their experiences of life. It was just gorgeous. I loved it. Everybody loved it. But they kept moving their time of mass to get it, which is good. Priests, says John Paul II, are a sacramental representation of Jesus Christ. We're a sacrament of Jesus. Congregation for the clergy again. In the church tradition, the ordained ministry is referred to as a sacrament, since through this ministry, those sent by Christ, by God's gift, bring about and offer that which they themselves can neither bring about nor give. It's not us. The minister of Christ doesn't substitute for Christ, but relies on him and allows him to act through us. The special sacramental consecration to Christ is the ultimate source of our confidence. No one, says John Paul II, should be discouraged as we are doing God's work. The God who calls us is the same God who sends us and who remains with us every day of our lives. It's vitally important that we preach with authority, connecting people with God, who is the author. And that's what preaching with authority means, connecting people to the author, God. The ordained minister should know the tradition. He should be able to communicate it in public in an engaging way. We're trained to do that, and different ones of us have more of the ability than others, of course. The following definition of the magisterium is a reminder that orthodox teaching is teaching that remains in touch with the spirit in people's lives. That's what orthodoxy is. Connecting with the Spirit in their lives. Quote from John Thornhill, the theologian, Marist: the expression of the gift of the Spirit whereby the church's pastors serve the community of believers by discerning what the Spirit is saying to the whole church, calling it to witness and life, which is a faithful expression of the unchanging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of human history. So the more you know your people, and the more you listen to your people, and the more you're in touch with their heart, and the more you believe in their yearning and God's desire to bring them to him, I imagine the more our words, simple words, humble words, but the way you do it, they will connect with the heart. The ordained priest as a sacrament of Christ, directing the community to do God's will, should be one who's able to facilitate and the cooperative building of a community of interdependent people. He needs to respect people and their gifts. He should be able to foster their contribution to the building of the community and to contributing towards its mission in and to the world. He will need to be sufficiently integrated to be able to focus upon others without his own agenda dominating, and have the ability to listen and relate to people in an attractive and liberating way. Some of us, like me, with my temperament, I've got to watch myself all the time, and you probably have seen this, so forgive me. I get onto my soapboxes and I've got to be careful that I'm not, you know, giving people. But that's what he's saying, like we're not meant to be caught up in our own agenda. We're meant to be constantly listening as best we can. And I'll conclude with this. John the 23rd. Starting from a renewed, serene, and calm acceptance of the whole teaching of the church in all its scope and detail, as it's found in Trent and Vatican I and everywhere else, Christians and Catholics of Apostolic Spirit all the world over expect Vatican II, they expect a leap forward in doctrinal penetration. That's a beautiful way of putting it. Not accumulation of more, but penetration. And the formation of human consciences. Not getting people to do what they're told, but inviting them to contribute from the depths of their own spirit their contribution to the church and the world in ever greater fidelity to authentic teaching. That's a little icon. You look, that's on the wall, the Holy Year door in Rome, in St. Peter's. And it's the risen Christ, clearly. And it's Paul at his moment of conversion. So that's the picture. But what I'm going to play for you now is, it's called You Are My Breath. And there's an echo coming through it. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La in Semitic languages means not. Not ilaha, the God, il Allah, but God. There is only one God, in other words, and it's Allah. Now, that is from the Quran, as a quote. That's actually Aramaic, which is not Arabic, but they're sister languages. Aramaic is much older than Arabic. But so it's on, and it's on the flag of the ISIS people who are tearing around North Iraq and Syria. Al ilaha illallah, and then they have another bit, and Muhammad is his prophet, and they're murdering people and slaughtering people. What they've got to remember, or someone's got to know it and tell them, was that la ilaha illallah would have been prayed by Aramaic speak. Jesus was Aramaic speaking. Christians, and before that Jews, for 200 years before Christ. It was 800 years before Muhammad. That was a prayer. We haven't got copies of it, but of course it was. And the closest you get to it is in 1 Corinthians 8:3, in Greek, of course. But Paul is thinking in Aramaic. That's his culture. And what it says there is, there is only one God, the One. Something like that, he says in 1 Corinthians 8:3. La ilaha illallah. Now, Allah is a great word for God, as is every other word, Elohim and so on. But you'll hear that happening, and I just want you, when you listen to it, to realize how dreadful it is that the Muslim world have taken that over as though it's theirs. Didn't come from any divine revelation to Muhammad. His own father had the word Allah in his word, in his name, and it goes right back. You can find it in the book of Daniel, 200 years before Jesus, the word Allah for God. So having spoken about it, let's listen to it.
You are my breath. free.